All right, so today we're diving into a case that's kind of like a cornerstone for anyone trying to wrap their heads around nonprofit law, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Classic.
Yeah, so think about this. You've got this hospital, right? Been around forever, and they decide they want to completely change things up. They want to stop doing inpatient care altogether and just focus on running outpatient clinics.
Interesting.
Sounds like a pretty charitable move on the surface, right? But the big question is it actually legal for them to do that?
Right, because you've got the whole issue of their original purpose.
Exactly. And that's the crux of this case. We're looking at Queen of Angels Hospital v. Younger, a 1977 California Court of Appeal decision that really digs into the nitty-gritty of charitable trusts and fiduciary duty. I mean, this is a masterclass for any law student out there.
Couldn't agree more. This one's packed with lessons.
Okay, so let's back up a bit and set the scene. We're in Los Angeles back in 1927. Queen of Angels Hospital gets established as a nonprofit run by the Franciscan Sisters of the Sacred Heart. So for like 40 years, it operates as a traditional hospital, you know, the kind with beds and all that. Then in 1971, they shake things up. They enter into this 25-year lease agreement with a private company. The idea being that the income from this lease would bankroll a whole network of free medical clinics for underserved communities. Seems like a pretty logical way to broaden their charitable impact, right?
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it sounds like they're trying to do some real good in the community.
Right. But here's where things get interesting. The California Attorney General steps in and says, hold on a second. They argued that ditching the hospital part of the equation to just run clinics was a big no-no. It went against the very reason Queen of Angels was created in the first place.
Yeah, that's where the whole concept of charitable trusts comes into play.
Hmm.
You know, the idea that these organizations are holding their assets for a very specific public purpose. And the attorney general is kind of like the watchdog, making sure nobody's messing with that trust.
Exactly. They're there to protect the public interest. Now, to make things even spicier, there's another layer to this whole situation. On top of the lease agreement, Queen of Angels also agreed to set up a retirement fund for some of the nuns from the Franciscan Sisters.
Oh, wow. So there's even more to it.
Yeah, the attorney general wasn't too happy about that either. They claimed it was basically a misuse of the hospital's charitable funds. Now, get this. When this case went to trial, initially the court was divided. They sided with Queen of Angels on the lease and the fees associated with it, but they agreed with the attorney general about the retirement fund being a problem. So naturally, both sides decided to appeal the parts they didn't like.
Yeah, I could see why that split decision would make both sides want to take it further.
So that leads us to the heart of our deep dive today. We're going to unpack the two major legal issues that the Court of Appeal had to grapple with. First, could Queen of Angels legally shut down its hospital operation and switch over to just funding and running those outpatient clinics? And second, was that retirement fund agreement for the Franciscan Sisters a kosher use of the hospital's money? Let's tackle that first question, the whole hospital versus clinics debate. What was the court's rationale on Queen of Angels trying to make that change?
Well, the court really zeroed in on a fundamental principle of nonprofit law, the Articles of Incorporation. They went straight back to that 1927 document that established Queen of Angels Hospital. And what did they find? A crystal clear statement that the organization's main purpose was to create and run a hospital. So think of this case as your friendly reminder. Those articles are like the rule book. They lay down the core function of a nonprofit and put limits on any big changes, even though those changes seem related to charitable work.
Okay, so the initial intention was to be a hospital, plain and simple. But we've already talked about how providing free medical care through clinics is definitely a charitable activity. How did the court square that circle?
That's a great point. They recognize that clinics are charitable, but they emphasize that Queen of Angels was created specifically to be a hospital. The articles did mention other possible charitable and educational activities, but they were all framed as supporting that central mission of running a hospital.
Right.
Even the name itself, Queen of Angels Hospital, really drove that point home. The court really focused on how specific that stated purpose was.
So even if the end goal, improving public health, might be similar, the specific way they were set up in their founding document held a lot of weight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The court basically said that Queen of Angels couldn't just abandon its core reason for existing as defined in its articles. They couldn't just walk away from being a hospital, even if the plan was to use those resources for another charitable endeavor. The court even suggested that maybe running the hospital and using some resources for other charitable work would fly. But completely ditching the hospital part? Nope, that was a step too far.
It does make sense when you think about it. The original agreement laid out their mission in a specific way. So what about that second issue, those retirement payments to the nuns? What did the court decide on that?
Oh, they didn't mince words on that one. They basically said that there was no good reason for that retirement plan agreement. The key problem was that the nuns getting those payments had never actually been employed by Queen of Angels Hospital. So the court couldn't find any direct connection between those payments and the whole purpose of running a hospital. It really highlights the question of how directly do your expenses as a nonprofit support your mission.
So it wasn't about whether helping the nuns was a good thing to do morally, but whether it was a legitimate use of the hospital's specific funds.
Precisely. Queen of Angels was holding those assets in trust for a specific reason to operate a hospital. So every dollar they spent had to align with that. Since the retirement payments didn't have that direct link to hospital operations, the court saw it as a breach of their fiduciary duty and a misuse of those charitable assets. You know, it's like they were misusing funds that were meant for a specific public benefit, in this case, running a hospital. It's a stark reminder that people running nonprofits have a big responsibility to make sure every penny they spend lines up with their core mission.
This case is like a crash course in the charitable trust doctrine. It shows that nonprofits can't just spend their money on anything they want, even if it seems like a good cause.
Absolutely. The court hammered home the point that nonprofits don't own their assets in the same way a for-profit company does. They're holding those assets in trust for the specific charitable goals they were set up for. And that's why the Attorney General has such a crucial role. They stepped in here because they saw Queen of Angels' actions as a threat to that charitable trust.
And the court's opinion on that was pretty clear, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, they were crystal clear about it. They basically said, whatever else Queen of Angels might do under their articles of incorporation, they were meant to run a hospital, and they did run a hospital. They can't just ditch that and switch to clinics while still upholding the trust placed upon them. That pretty much sums up their whole argument. Even if those clinics were a good thing, they couldn't just replace the original, clearly defined purpose of the organization.
Got it. So for all the aspiring lawyers listening in, what are the main takeaways from this case? If you're advising a nonprofit that's thinking about making a big change, what should they keep in mind?
The court didn't give us a neat little checklist, but they did lay out some key factors to think about. First and foremost, you got to scrutinize those articles of incorporation. That document is the foundation. It spells out the main purpose. Then you got to look at the organization's track record. What have they actually done over time? Next, you got to consider their public image. How have they presented themselves to the public and to regulators? Then ask yourself, is the change they're proposing truly aligned with their core purpose, or is it a fundamental shift? And finally, think about the impact on their assets. If you're working with a nonprofit that's considering a major change, do your homework and carefully analyze these five areas.
This case also underlines some broader themes that are super relevant for any lawyer working with nonprofits. First, it highlights how important it is to draft those articles of incorporation carefully and precisely right from the start. This case is a perfect example of how those initial words can have huge long-term legal consequences. And it also emphasizes the fiduciary duty that board members have. They can't just chase any shiny opportunity that comes along. They have a fundamental obligation to make sure every decision they make puts the organization's core mission first, the mission that was established way back when.
Exactly. Queen of Angels really cemented the idea that nonprofits are bound by those founding documents. It's a case that still gets cited today whenever a charitable organization tries to significantly change direction. It's a powerful reminder that charitable trust isn't just some abstract legal theory. It has real-world consequences.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this case, here's a final thought for all you future legal eagles. We saw how important it was that the Articles of Incorporation specifically mentioned hospital. That was a major factor in the court's decision. But imagine if those original articles back in 1927 had been broader. What if they had clearly stated that running free medical clinics was part of their core purpose, right alongside running a hospital? Do you think the Attorney General would still intervene back in 1971 when Queen of Angels decided to focus just on the clinics? It's a really interesting hypothetical to think about, especially as healthcare keeps evolving and the principles of nonprofit law remain important.
That's a great point to leave our listeners with. It really gets you thinking about how crucial those founding documents are and how different things might have played out with even a slight change in wording.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been a pleasure unpacking this landmark case with you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time.
Bye.